pilot of a private plane were killed today at 10:30 a.m., approximately that time, in an airplane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa. The dead included 17-year-old Richie Valance, 22-year-old Buddy Holly, and R.P. Richardson, known as the Big Popper, in recording industry.
Joining KSYD in Wichita Falls, Texas, for the Snuff Garrett tribute to the late Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
You know why I feel blue.
We call him. And Buddy being one of the greatest guys in the world. This morning, we received a notice from Dateline Mason City, Iowa. Three rock and roll singers just hitting the big time have died in a plane crash in an Iowa farm field. The three young singers, Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and J.P. Richardson, better known as the Big Bopper, were being flown in a chartered plane by pilot Roger Peterson, who also was killed to a rock and roll concert in Fargo, North Dakota. Three guys who, the Big Bopper, after working 9 years at a radio station in Beaumont, Texas as a disc jockey, gained fame with a thing called Chantelle Lace, and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. Richie Valens came on strong not too long ago, a young 17-year-old guy. Came on strong via Los Angeles and come up with a smash hit called Donna, the flip side hit right now called La Bamba. But he'll never know the experiences of being a really, really big star across the nation because of his death. Buddy Holly, after his big taste of success with Peggy Sue and Never Forget the Crickets, That'll Be the Day, Maybe Baby. A lot of them. Just now, he started a brand new one called Doesn't Matter Anymore, which is going to hit the charts probably in a couple of weeks. Already a very big record in the Wichita Falls area. But he couldn't have missed. Anybody could sing rock and roll any better or one of the greatest guys in the world. And all of a sudden, it's all ended in Mason City, Iowa. Richie Valens, one of the three guys. This is his big hit of the present day. Probably just like all recording companies, when they go in to record, they record usually four or six tunes at a time. And probably Richie Valens has got maybe they got four or five or six more songs in the can, as they say in the tray there. Maybe they got some more records in them. Maybe they don't. Maybe they were going to have a recording session tomorrow with him. Just like Buddy, we talked to his manager not long ago. You'll be hearing the interview with Norman Petty, Buddy Holly's manager, in a little while. He was due in New York next week for a recording date. They have, Norman will tell you all about it in a little while. Yeah. Oh, wow. But we talked to the Crickets while ago in Lubbock. And contrary to what it said in the paper tonight, said in the paper that the Crickets were in the bus that went ahead to their next engagement, and then the three fellows flew, and that's how they were killed. But they weren't there. They were in Lubbock at the time. The Crickets were not hurt, or they weren't even on the tour. It was Buddy by himself. He went on a weekend thing, you know. And they were all torn up about it in Lubbock. All the radio stations there. All the guys that Buddy had known for a long time, you know. I remember when he was laying brick. Started as a bricklayer, just like anybody else. He loved to sing. He used to sing, you know, in different places. You hear the stories. He started out poor, and he used to sing around town. Well, that's just the way it was. He used to sing around town. Didn't pick up much loot, and he made more money as a brick contractor. And he bought his first big car, laying brick. And he kept that car up until last year. I say there's two things a rock and roll singer buys first. That's a brand new Cadillac and a diamond ring. And I don't think I know of one that has it. Not very few. But you know, we let it all go to their head and everything. But Buddy didn't do that. He was just another singer and swinger and had a good time, made a lot of money, and carried on. But he remembered that was a nice thing, you know. He didn't just go big hat and leave the group. This is one of the songs that hit all across the nation, and it stayed up for a long time. Like Buddy said, all of his records, they don't go right to the top like the Everly Brothers and all of them. But they made just as much money because they get about the number 50 or 60 position. And they just stay there month after month, about 3 or 4 months. You just keep piling in the old loot. That's what he says. Just keep piling the old money there month after month. And the Everly Brothers, and I'm just using an example, but they have a smash hit, goes all the way to the top, and then it drops down pretty fast. But he just gets in one place and just stays there very mellowly, cashing in the Gitas, you know. And now this is one of them that did it. Anybody that likes rock and roll or any, you know, right, your type of today's music. This is one of the biggest records. Cricket chirping, me, me. All right, it's chirping crickets right there, and maybe, maybe. Buddy Holly. Buddy had a guy that helped him more than anybody. His name was Norman Petty. Probably all the, older people, 25, 30, something like that. They used to dance to the music of the Norman Petty Trio, which is a very big trio across the nation. Still, they play a lot of club dates and everything. That was Buddy Holly's manager. And to give you an idea of what kind of money Buddy and guys with Ricky Valens and J.P. Richards, how much money they made off things like this. Just Norman's 10% of being the manager of the Crickets. Just his 10% sort of kept him living very mellowly for quite a while. And not that he didn't earn it by any means. He has his recording studio and lives in Clovis, New Mexico. We talked to him earlier this afternoon on the phone.
Mr. Petty?
Yes, sir.
This is Snuff Garrett at KFYD in Wichita Falls.
How are you, Snuff?
Fine, thank you. And I don't know, I've never met you personally, but everyone knew you in the recording industry as the maker and founder of the Crickets, Buddy and the Boys. And, of course, you've had a lot of
us. You had a lot to do with that, too, you know.
Thank you very much. Buddy was a great guy. And
he was probably one of the finest young talents in America.
That's true. And he started out, you know, not doing too much around Lubbock, just trying like 28,000 other boys did. And he was lucky enough to make it, of course, with your help. Have you gotten any other word on what's happened up there?
Well, it's not the only thing. I have received a call this morning from Indiana from one of our radio station friends up there. And he said that the only thing he had heard was that the plane was private plane and the three other fellows and the pilot. So there were four as far as we can gather.
Yeah, there were Richie Valens and the Big Bopper.
Right, and Buddy, and I believe the pilot.
Yeah, the pilot, too. Buddy had been playing. He played a show up there last night, didn't he?
Yes.
I see. And,
he was on his way to the next town.
Let's see. Norman, how long has Buddy been married now?
Well, let's see. You just caught me off guard. Not very long.
No, about 4 months, I think.
Probably 4 or 5 months.
Four or five months. And, where's his wife? In New York?
She's in New York.
She's in New York. I'm certainly sorry about it, and I'm very sorry to bother you like this.
Well, things like this happen, and there's nothing that we can do to control them.
That's true.
We often wonder why things like it do happen.
That's true.
But of course, there's always bound to be a reason somewhere.
Norm, does Buddy have many more records in the can?
He has two more. That we did in New York. Do you notice you this last name of Buddy?
Paul Ankus. Paul Ankus.
Right. Well, yeah. We have two others that were done at the same time. And then I have probably some here in McCann here in Clovis.
I see.
He was supposed to go in for another session this next week.
Oh.
However, the ones that we did there and the ones that I have here are the only ones that we did there.
I see. Well, would you put most of those out? I hope you will.
It depends. Of course, there's bound to be some legal actions around.
Yeah,
which we are not going to comment on.
I see.
I'm sure that the other two that we did in New York will be in.
Well, good. All right, Mr. Petty, thank you very much for talking to us. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye. That's Norman Petty, the manager of Buddy Holly and the Crickets. Buddy saw $1 million worth of Norman Petty because he owed him everything in the world for getting him started. Norman took care of all of his money and everything he made, decided what to do with his money. He invested. He wasn't going to let him be an overnight sensation. And then, a lot of the guys, they have two or three hit records and maybe even one. They make a fortune off of it. And pretty soon it's all gone again. But Norman wasn't going to let that happen to Buddy. Buddy had his money invested in different firms and things. Like record shops, he was talking about. He called me one day and talked about record shops and what he wanted to do with some of his money. And he wasn't gonna be here today, gone tomorrow. He liked the feeling of money, and he was gonna make sure he kept it. And there's more of the guys that think ahead like that, that have a lot of the loot, I guess. But I think one of the greatest stories in the world is how the Crickets wrote "That'll Be the Day." Buddy's best friend in high school, Jerry Allison. is the drummer for the Crickets, and you'll hear Jerry in a little while. Jerry and Buddy, you know, were real good friends in high school and all through high school, and they lived in Lubbock together, and their families are real good friends, and Jerry would like to write songs, you know, and he had a girl in California, and he wrote a song one day for her, and of course, you've already heard it, Peggy Sue. Jerry wrote Peggy Sue, and then Buddy helped him out with it, and they changed it up, and it became a million seller, never to be forgotten. And not too long ago, I think you remember when we had Buddy Holly Day here at KSYD Radio, when Buddy and the guys came down after their last trip to New York, and they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. They came down and did their TV show this last summer. And we're here in town for a couple of days, and he was married 2 days before that to Peggy Sue. But, you know, it's sort of a vicious circle there. And speaking of, I have known about Buddy being married. And I only met his wife one time. She's real nice. And Buddy, being 22 years of age, he left by, you know, they've been married 6 months. And his wife, she's living in New York. They were married last August 15th. And her name is Maria Elena Santiago. She's a receptionist. And Buddy told her to stop working and everything. He wanted her to stop working because he had enough money to support him. And she told him no. She wanted to keep on working. No sense, you know, when he's on the road so much and everything, that she might as well keep working. And she was in the business, too. She worked in Southern Music Company in New York, which published a lot of Buddy's hits. And after 6 months, it's all gone, the whole thing. And but what I was going to tell you a while ago, when the first big hit they had, Jerry and Buddy went to see a show called The Searchers with John Wayne. Remember the cowboy picture? Called The Searchers. Starring John Wayne. All the way through it, somebody would say, you know, I'm going to kill you, John Wayne. And he'd say, that'll be the day. Everything was, that'll be the day. That'll be the day. So they left the show, and Jerry said, let's write a song called That'll Be the Day. And they did. And that's pretty clever. This is it. That was the Crickets' first big hit right there, called That'll Be the Day, written because of a big picture, The Searchers. And Buddy and the guys, this is one of those slow-rising records, just like Buddy commented all the time about all these records. This one, they sat around Lubbock. And the first time I ever met Buddy, well, this record had just come out, and I said, Buddy, what's a good side on this record? And he said, well, I'll tell you the side I like. That'll Be the Day, and it'll never do anything. The other side's the side that... we're really pushing. It's going to really be a big side called Looking for Someone to Love. And 6 months later, That'll Be the Day was number one across the nation, hit the million seller mark. Buddy was on the road. Boy, they took off like, you know, started working like beavers with busted tooth, and they went all across the nation. Last year, Buddy was home 9 days out of the whole year. Out of 365 days, Crickets were home 9 days. That's how hard they worked last year. And, you know, doing shows every night and working and playing shows every night, traveling. They went to Australia. They were a big hit in England. Went to England, Australia. This next summer, they were going to the continent. They were going over to Europe. And, you know, and, oh, wow. How much fun they had on these tours. That's all they talked about, how much fun they had on the tours. And all the guys getting together, you know, like the Everly Brothers, who was Buddy's closest friends, the Crickets' closest friends. It gets kind of tiresome, just a bunch of guys roaming around the country together, you know, playing at night and working at night, playing shows and working just about 2 or 3 hours a night and then off, nothing to do. And so, you know, you don't have time to meet too many people and get to be good friends with anybody. So they took up things like, how am I going to say they played checkers? They played poker, you know, because it was past the time fast and something pretty educational. They got him a teacher, and took up fencing. You know, they could all go on that way too. They all took up fencing. The Everly Brothers and the Crickets, and they bought them these, you know, these little white suits with a cage face on it, and they'd be in the hotel rooms and they'd fence. You know, after they got off the shows, and that's how much fun they had. And we tried to find the Everly Brothers today. They were unavailable, and I wanted to get them to comment on what they saw, Buddy. But We I'm sorry, we couldn't find him. We'll try to do it maybe tomorrow. Maybe we can find him tomorrow. And along with buddy like Richie Valens and there was Buddy. And one more guy who was a disc jockey for, he's only 24 years old, I think. 24 years of age, and took him 23 years to get to the top. He finally made it in a big way. Been a disc jockey for 9 years. He started out at the age of 15 at a radio station in Beaumont, Texas. His name was J.P. Richardson, and he put out a record, and it was a fad at that time. I'm sure no one will ever forget the Purple People Eater, and so he got the idea to write a song called The Purple People Eater Meets the Witch Doctor, and it didn't do too much. This is it. That was a big bopper right there in his first record. That was the flip side of his first record. This is the one that they thought was going to come out, you know, and be a smash hit just like the Purple People Eater. And it didn't do anything. And then Mercury Records picked up the master. They felt so much of the Purple People Eater meets the Witch Doctor. They bought the master from the big bopper, J.P. Richardson, and they put it out. Still nothing happened, you know, all across the nation. Jocks had listened to it, and they played it some, and it didn't sell too well. So then, the jockeys, you know, they, like they do, some I've known, they listened to the other side of the record, the B-side of the record, they call it. And that's how Chantilly Lace came into being. The flip side of the Purple People Eater Meets the Witch Doctor was Chantilly Lace. And this one, I think it took it 4 or 5 months, just like Buddy waited 6 months, so that'll be the day to hit the top. And it was a long wait, too, boy, nerves every day. And you'd see him, he didn't have too much money and wanted to put out another record, and there wasn't too much loot, and finally the record broke, and everything was cool, you know. But the flip side of this record went right to the top, went to the number one position. Here's a big popper. Some Chantilly Lace.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Papa speaking.
Oh, baby, that's the one I like.
That was a big bopper right there, and a Chantilly Lace, and a pretty face, and a ponytail hanging down, which is a saying all across the red, white, and blue not too many months ago. And the big bopper brought it into being. This is a tribute to Buddy Holly, and we're not taking any sides or anything, but Buddy is one of the best friends I've ever had. And he's the greatest guy in the world. And he was killed this morning, or early this morning, last night, in a plane crash in Mason City, Iowa. And along with him, the Big Bopper's death, and also Richie Valens. If there's anything of Buddy's you want to hear, I think we had just about everything of his. If there's anything in particular of Buddy's you want to hear, because we're going to go on here and, you know, really pull us off over these, because I sit and listen to them, and a lot of these albums are scratched up because I play them a million times at home. And I don't ever play Buddy Holly records because I play them because he's a friend of mine too, but I play them because they're good, and they're good rock and roll. So if you got something of Buddy's you want to hear, you call 723-0791 and I'll play it. You know, that's all I can say. So this is to him, and you know, do it now. This is a song that this showed what they call in rock and roll versatility. One thing about Buddy, no one else could record his songs, and I've heard people say it since he said it, and people here in town, and because nobody could sing like Buddy. He sounded like he's crying, sounded like a little girl crying a lot of times, you know, and all that, and among the guys, is kind of a joke because, you know, they'd kid him about it, and he took it good-naturedly. But this showed one side of Buddy that, you know, that no one else could copy. Buddy Holly, I'm going to love you, too. Buddy Holly right there, and I'm going to love you, too.
Right, Miss.
And we know it's going to go big. And this is Buddy Holly, plus 97 violins just fiddling around, called It's Raining in My Heart. For some of the buddies you want to hear, call 723-0791. I'll play it.
The sun is out.
There's Charles Harden Holly right there. is reigning in my heart. Buddy Holly is, he's 22 years old, and I'll never forget the last time I went off to see him. They called me from Lubbock, and they said, we're in town. They said, come on up. So I took the weekend and went up to see him. I flew up in an airplane, which is a pretty clever way to go, and I went to Lubbock, and we went out to eat. He and Jerry Allison and I went out to eat, and the night I was going to come back, and so he said, we were all sitting there, we were sitting there eating, and so... Alrighty, there's the crickets chirping for you right there. It's very nice to hear. A girl by the name of Peggy Underwood is called from Bowie, and we just got a call from Abilene, Texas, and give us time to answer the phone. I mean, if you want to hear something, buddies, and you want to call us, well, give us time to answer the phone. We're going to play what you request, you know. And this is the very, very, very least we can do. No one knows when the funeral is going to be yet in Lubbock. But, you know, I think it'd be nice if you know, people would send a card. They could send a card to Lubbock. Yeah, just send it to radio station KDUB in Lubbock, care of Buddy Holly. And they'll see that they're put in the proper place. It wouldn't hurt anybody a bit to send a card up that way. And, you know, let them know that people will not forget Buddy Holly, because he was the greatest guy in the world, and he furnished a lot of entertainment for a lot of people. And this is one of Buddy's biggest records. And it was a weirdo. This is the one that came out right after That'll Be the Day. It was the next record, or it might have been the record after That'll Be the Day. And they flipped everybody with this one because, personally, I didn't like it. But, boy, it caught on like wildfire. Here's the cricket chirping. Oh, boy.
All of my love, all of my kisses, you don't know what you've been a missing. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Okay. This is Buddy Holly, and that was him, an old boy right there. We used to have a guest whenever he'd come in. We'd get in the back and cut tapes, you know, and we used to have a guest whenever he'd come in. We'd get in the back and cut tapes, you know, and I'm sure all of you, if you ever heard it, you'll never forget it. Call them in. He used to call them in. Now, I gotta call my father. And, this is the thing Buddy cut one time. Break up the station, Billy.
This is Buddy Holly with the crickets reminding you this is KSYD, Wichita Falls, the station that other stations listen to.
In the end, chirping crickets will not fade away. Crickets right there, Big Bud Holly, and not fade away. Buddy, I'm sure you've heard by now, that's the reason we're doing this. In Mason City, Iowa, seems that three of the nation's top rock and roll idols were killed during there was a light snow up there in the plane crash. And in the trio, there was Buddy Holly, 22-year-old Lubbock, Texas boy, who we're playing these records for, along with Richie Valens, 21 years old in Los Angeles, and J.P. Richardson, 24, in the audience. And, he's original home of the audience, and he's probably best known as a disc jockey in the city of Beaumont. And they were killed in a plane crash. And we're playing all these records just for Buddy, and for you to hear, because I asked this afternoon if I could do this, and I asked him if I could play all the records of Buddy's, and Earl Burnham, the manager, was very nice about it. He should certainly say if that's what you want to do, because he's a good friend of mine. And this is the only way I know to pay any tribute to Buddy, you know. And because this is the only way I know how to do anything. That what else can I do? That's all. And this show isn't commercialized or anything else. This is for Buddy Holly, and that's all. This is the flip side is they get Peggy Sue. They call it Every Day. It's a weird voice on this one, too.
Every day seems to get closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way.
Buddy Holly right there, and Every Day. This side came up almost as big as Peggy Sue, which is on the flip side. Everyone beginning to like this side, too. We've had... This is one of Buddy's earlier records. If you remember.
Staying at home, waiting for you. Just won't get it, cause you stay with you. And I'm looking for someone about...
That's the Ray Charles influence right there. And Buddy Holly. One of the songs he wrote called Looking for Someone to Love. He and Jerry wrote that one. It came out as a flip side of That'll Be the Day. And the original foursome in the Crickets, there was Buddy, Jerry Allison, Joey Malden, Nicky Sullivan. Nicky went out on his own. Jerry and Joey and Buddy, they all stayed together. They didn't get anybody to replace him because they said there wasn't anybody that could replace him. So they just carried on the three of them. And you'll never know how proud Buddy Holly's mother was of him, because his mother and father were, I don't know how old they are, but they're pretty old. And they got just a small, average home in Wichita Falls, in Lubbock. And the first time I ever met him, a good friend of mine and Buddy's, Kerry Hobbs, who was the first person to ever push Buddy Holly or play any of his records or anything else, was Kerry Hobbs. And Kerry and Buddy and I and Jerry were out one night in Lubbock. And this is after Buddy had just gotten back from being on the Ed Sullivan Show. His mother was really proud of him, you know. She was real nice, and she used to call me and request records. Not Buddy's, but she'd call and request records, you know. And she listened to the radio all the time. She wouldn't admit it, you know, to hear Buddy's records. And in the front room, she had a long table, and it had all of Buddy's albums on it, the ones with his picture on the front of it. And she had a picture of him that Buddy brought her back with he and Ed Sullivan together. And she had little mementos of all his, and piece of sheet music with piece of Peggy Sue sheet music, and with his picture on the front of it. And she thought he was a living end. And I'll never forget this night went over there, night we met her. I was a disc jockey in Lubbock then, and so was Kerry. He's still jockeying there. And we went over there, and we just came in. He was going to change clothes and was going to go out to eat. And she flipped. She took Buddy off in another room, and she bawled him out for not calling her and telling her that two radio stars were coming over to eat. You know, it really, that's what she told her. You know, and she thought it was terrible because he didn't call her and she didn't have a chance to clean up the house or anything, or dust up and everything for us to come over. And she insisted that we eat there, and, you know, we told her we've got to go out and eat, you know, since going all the trouble. And that's how, and Buddy returned this love by, when he made it big, he told his daddy to retire. His dad was a painter and a contractor. Told his dad to retire. He bought him a Chevrolet, bought him a brand new Chevrolet, and he was in the process of building a brand new home for him. I mean, a plush home for him. And I haven't been back since then. I haven't talked to Buddy. The last time I saw Buddy Holly was when I was doing a marathon at the Bennett Motor Company here not too long ago. And Buddy just drove up one night, and he was on his way to New York with his wife, and they were going up to New York. And he walked in, and he stayed about 30 or 45 minutes and then left. And that's the last time I saw Buddy. I got a card from him at Christmas saying, you know, he was in New York and wish you were back here. And everything. The last time I saw him. But a lot of people remember Buddy Holly after this, because this is going to be one of his biggest hits. This is Buddy Holly's Hit of Tomorrow. It doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, baby, going, baby, you won't matter anymore.
Okay, there you go. Big Bud Holly right there, and it doesn't matter anymore. This is one of the Crickets himself, the name of Joby Malden. We talked to Joe at the same time we talked to Jerry. They were together and deciding what they were going to do with the group now. And we called him in Lubbock earlier this afternoon. And this is what Joby had to say.
What have y'all heard? Just what we've read in the paper and heard over the radio.
I talked to Norman a while ago.
Did you?
Yeah. He said some friend of his called him up there.
Yeah.
And he didn't know, somewhere up North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Called him, and they said that they didn't know too much about it.
Yeah.
But y'all, what is it's in the paper that y'all were with him. I thought y'all were with him.
Yeah, no, we weren't.
Y'all were in Clovis, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, we got here. We came into Lubbock about 10 last night.
You did what?
I say, Jerry and I drove to Lubbock about 10 last night, so we were here when it happened.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it, son.
Yes, sir, Van.
Where's Jerry?
He's right here.
Isn't he?
say hello, Eddie.
Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing? Hey, Lacey.
Pretty good.
I talked to Norman this long ago.
Yeah.
And he said that they hadn't heard too much.
Now, we got the paper here, and I'm just reading it now.
Were you?
I don't know what to think.
Well, I'm sure sorry to hear it.
Yeah, man, me too.
What are y'all gonna do? Both the guys are shook up, believe me. You know, especially Jerry. Jerry was sort of the comic of the group. He's the one that, when they came down here in August to do the TV show, Buddy came down by himself with his cousin. And we were all sitting down here, and I said, well, I miss the guys. He said, I do too. So we called him on the phone, they got on the plane and flew down. And we all went out to eat that night and play little cards, you know, and sit around the old campfire out there at the Wayfair and really had a good time. And Jerry brought down with him that night when he got here, he brought down with him his brand new record. He went under the name of Ivan. And it was played here for the first time anywhere in the nation. The record got to be really big. And tonight, Jerry said his next record was just released, so you'll be hearing it any time. He's sending one down to us. And he was... he was really shook up to hear about Buddy. This is a good song. This is the Big B's backing up Buddy right here. Little Baby, Baby Me. C.W. Kendall playing piano.
Little Baby, Baby Me.
There you go, Charles Harden Holly right there, Buddy Holly. And Little Baby, Baby Me. Tope Records, he was going to name it after the color of his Cadillac, Tope Brown. I think that's what they call it, Tope, as I remember that's what he told me. He was going to start his own record company and publishing company, and he was looking around for artists. Tope Records he was going to start. And, you know, every, same way they got, they, no one knows where they got the name of the Crickets. When they were sitting around, they said, what do we call our group, you know? And they wanted to think of something different, so they said, how about some Crickets? And there you go. They call them the Crickets. So he named his record company the same way. Here's Buddy Holly, and it's easy.
It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love.
There you go, Chirping Crickets and Big Bud right there, and it's so easy to fall in love. And Buddy, I'm sure everyone knows about it now, about the death of Buddy Holly, along with the big bopper, J.P. Richardson, and also Richie Valens, an up-and-coming star tomorrow. These two guys can't be forgotten either. But I didn't know them. But I knew Buddy Holly, and I knew him well. He's the greatest guy in the world. And like we said earlier, if you wouldn't mind putting an envelope, whatever you can, a dime, a quarter, a dollar, whatever you can, and mail it to Buddy Holly, KSYD Radio, Wichita Falls, Texas. We'll see that it goes to muscular dystrophy. Everything you mail in, we'd appreciate it. Buddy, he'd only been married a little less than 6 months. His wife, as Jerry Allison told you earlier, one of the Crickets, she's coming to Lubbock tomorrow. So I guess the funeral will be in Lubbock. I'm going to try to make it up, the funeral. And, what can you say, you know? You can't say too much, except you can recall the things that, the times that you had fun with him and the things that he enjoyed talking about most, like the greatest thrill Buddy Holly ever... I asked him one time, I said, Buddy, since you've been going, since you've been singing, what's the greatest thrill you've ever had? He says, no, the greatest thrill I've ever had was playing the Palace Theater last Christmas. Not this last Christmas, Christmas before last. He said, that last Christmas in New York. He said, I've never seen crowds like this. I've never had so much fun. I've never enjoyed playing a crowd more than I had last Christmas. And that was his greatest thrill, playing the Palace Theater, along with, all the top rock and roll stars. They had a big show. They have one every Christmas there. And Buddy Holly. Here's another one of his earlier records. Mm-hmm. Little Richard did this without some Buddy Holly to get the money. There you go, the Chirping Crickets right there, along with Big Bud Holly, and the old Little Richard tune. Can't you send me some love, you see? That was one that Buddy Holly Lige and Little Richard recorded. And he thought Little Richard was a gas. That was one of his favorite singers. And he used to talk about, you know, all the trips they'd made together and everything. About how much fun he was to you know, sing with on the show. And you know, what a gas he was. This is a...
Right now, this is Bob Lyons, a button in for station identification. We want to remind you that you're listening to the Snuff Garrett Show from KSYD in Wichita Falls, Texas, bringing you the special show dedicated to the late Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, and Richie Valens. We think that this is a very good show that Snuff's putting on, and we want you to stay until the very end. I want to remind you that it's coming your way from the studios of KBOB. KBOB, the new sound and radio at Sound Station. Well, now back to Snuff Garrett in Wichita Falls, Texas.
We did this because we wanted to, and we appreciate you letting us play all of Buddy's records, and we're glad that you like them. And, Buddy Holly won't be forgotten because they've got some more records of his, and they'll keep coming out. And as long as I can find a way, well, I'll play them. And I'll ask anybody that I know to and buy them because Buddy Holly won't die for quite a while. And rock and roll singers come and go, but there's only going to be one Buddy Holly, believe me. I've never found anybody else to sing like him. And he was the greatest guy in the world. And if you can find time tonight, you know, if you want to keep on calling in and keep on requesting Buddy's records, I don't think Jack Grady would mind a bit. Because I'm sure he'd be more than happy to play whatever you wanted to hear about Buddy. Because, you know, we can't stop here, believe me. So, I'll ask you once again, just send whatever you can in an envelope to KSYD Radio, care of Buddy Holly, Wichita Falls, Texas. And whatever you can, we'll give it all to Muscular Dystrophy. His big brother, Elvis Presley, popularized, but Buddy insisted that it was in his first album for Coral Records. He liked the song so much he wanted to do it. Here's Big Brother.
Hey, hey, go, man, go.
Okay.
The preceding program came to you transcribed from a radio show broadcast on February the 3rd, 1959, and came to you from KSYD in Wichita Falls, Texas, and was produced and directed by Snuff Garrett, and starred Snuff Garrett as your host and his special tribute to Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, and Richie Valens, who were killed earlier today, February the 2nd, 1959, in Mason City, Iowa, in a plane crash that stunned the whole United States. All rock and roll fans were shocked at the news.
City of New Orleans, WNOE, where it's Mardi Gras time and the festive spirit is in the air. However, this morning, one sad note received at the WNOE news terminal, and that, of course, being the plane crash killing three top entertainers, Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. We'd like you to get behind the disc jockeys at KCID in Wichita Falls in supporting a drive to support one of Buddy Holly's favorite charities, the Muscular Dystrophy Association. This, of course, would be a way to remember Buddy that will stand up for years and years. Send your contribution to Muscular Dystrophy, care of KCID, Wichita Falls, Texas. We are very happy to get in on the fundraising campaign for muscular dystrophy, since we are now aware that it was Buddy Holly's favorite charity, and we will certainly encourage our listeners to make any contributions they like in the memorial for these three great stars for muscular dystrophy. Thank you very much, Kay Sid in Wichita Falls, for this opportunity. This is Don Kelly, Program Director, WDTY, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Great Buddy Holly and the Crickets in one of their finest recordings called Lonesome Tears.
Music and news found in Wichita Falls, Texas. The wonderful story of the fans of Buddy Holly and the friends of Buddy Holly and what they plan to do with the volunteer contributions and offers of help from the town and the surrounding community. And other, the Texas towns where the other two brothers are from, Big Bopper, Richie Bellins, a wonderful thing they're going to, and we up here in Indianapolis would like to do our part. My listeners would like to contribute whatever they may in the memory of these three favorites of music from all over the country. It's awful hard to put a thing like this into words when it's happened so suddenly in such a short time ago. But in the name of muscular dystrophy, I hope we can help. Blessings, and again, it's a very sad loss to the music world, a world of fun and